Hallelujah. Lord, I give you praise. I worship you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. I bless your holy name, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise God, my Savior. Hallelujah. For those of you have been that have been saved long enough, you know that that song title is Blessed Assurance. And you have got to have that blessed assurance that your family members are going to see Jesus. They're either going to meet him caught up in the air, or they're going to meet him leaping up from the grave. And tonight's broadcast is all about those souls in your family that are not saved yet. You've talked to them. You may have tried to impress them to listen to you, and maybe they just won't. But I'm going to run through some scriptures this evening that you can write down and look them over later. And you can memorize one or two, because they're not real long scriptures. They're just scriptures that the Holy Spirit will use to penetrate the heart of a stubborn soul, a soul lingering in the balance between heaven and hell, a soul that you may have known all your life, and you're saved and they're not. A soul that needs Jesus just like you do. Because one day when you were traveling in darkness, walking, riding on an airplane, on a bicycle, on a train, wherever you were in a sin-sick state before Jesus latched a hold of you. And you said yes to his will and yes to his way. I don't know about you, but before I got saved, no one ever handed me a tract on the street. I never knew anything about a tract. I never knew what a tract was until after I was saved for a few months or maybe a year. And so I didn't get saved through anybody coming to me, telling me about Jesus. But somebody had to be praying for me. I was a good Catholic. I was a staunch Catholic, but I was still not saved. Nothing in my upbringing in Catholic school, elementary school and high school, did I come to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and personal Savior. Nothing. I was faithful, going to church, but I was still in sin. I didn't even know I was in sin. I didn't even know about sin other than what the Catholic Church taught us about sin, and that was the typical stuff that maybe your parents taught you. But basically, it wasn't like you thought you were going to go to hell for it. It wasn't like you sat down and wondered and thought about it. But right now, you're going to minister or begin to minister to family members that either live in your house or live somewhere where you can call them up and begin to minister to them in the love of Christ, about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, you can't be shy and timid, because the Bible says that God doesn't give the spirit of fear or timidity, but of power and love. And the power is not coming from you. The power is coming from the Holy Spirit, who is God, the third person of the Trinity. I tell you one thing about the Catholic Church bringing up. We learned about the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, the three in one, the Trinity. And the word Trinity is not even in the Bible. But they taught us that. We had religion classes. We were faithful in church on Sunday, holidays, confession on Saturday, and ministered to or loved on or strictly spoken to by nuns in habits that you don't really see anymore out here today. But I hope some of my Catholic friends are listening. Those of you that I went to elementary school with, that we locked in together on Facebook. So I'm grateful that my mother sacrificed her paycheck to send my brother and I to Catholic school, because it was no cheap effort. It was an expense that she paid. And being a single mother, my father and mother divorced when I was very young, a toddler. And back then, fathers didn't have to pay this kind of support that they may, financial support that they may have to pay now. But my mother worked, and she worked double shifts, and she worked hard, and she worked years until she retired. And she had favor where she worked to pay for the Catholic education that we got. Excellent. We learned cursive. They don't even teach cursive in school now. She had to pay for us to go to Catholic high school. So I say all that to say that even with all of that, I still was not saved when I graduated from high school. It was years after that that the Lord started drawing on me. My daughter went to Catholic school, and she was receiving her confirmation. And they sent her home with a children's living Bible. It wasn't even a Catholic Bible. It was a King James living Bible. And the cover attracted me. And I picked it up in my unsaved state. And I began to read it from cover to cover. Some of us that are saved haven't even read the Bible from cover to cover yet. And I wasn't saved. And I started reading it. And I was amazed at the things that were in the Bible that were specifically taught me in Catholic school that was not a doctrine of Jesus Christ. So I didn't get saved then either. I still lived a sinful life, and I didn't think that my life was any less sinful than anybody else. I never thought about it. You know, one thing I know, when I wasn't saved, I wasn't a gossiper. And I've learned more about gossip since I've been saved in the church than in my whole life. But I want you to know that it's time for your family members to give their lives to Christ. And you don't have to tell them that they have to give up anything, because the Holy Spirit will lead them to give up things one by one. Hallelujah. And I think that's wonderful. So I am going to start giving you some scriptures. You can grab your Bible if you can't move as rapid as I'm going to move, because I'm not going to have a two-hour broadcast tonight. I'm going to try to limit this to just 1 hour, but it's going to be effective and with great purpose. And I know the Lord said, I want you to do your broadcast from here on in. So tonight is about salvation, part one, family first. Because I'm going to tell you, you don't want to have to try to figure out where your family members are if they were to die tonight. I remember that I went to a place in Lakeland, Florida, to meet the owner of this property. And when I met him, I had was all ready to make some kind of arrangements with him to read this booklet that I had put together for a property that had been abandoned that I felt that the Lord had led me to make up, write up, and have some other people look at it that tweaked it up and put it in a binder and hand it to him. This was a millionaire that gave me his time just from talking to me on the telephone. And I flew there to Lakeland, Florida, and I met with him, and I led him to Christ. He told me what his endeavors were concerning the property and that he would definitely look over my booklet. Well, in about 2.5-3 years, I went back to the property to meet with him because from time to time we would talk on the phone or text each other. And I didn't know when God's timing was, but I went back to the property to meet with him. And when I got there, I asked for him, and they said, well, he passed. I had just talked to the man on the phone. I had just let him know that I was in Florida for a week and that when I left Disney with a friend, we were going to drive there to the property, and that's what we did. Well, what happened was he passed. He had a stroke in his shower. There was no one home. His wife wasn't there, no one home to help him. So ultimately, I met his sister, who kind of took his place on the property. And she said, Linda, I'm so troubled about my brother because I don't know where he is right now. And I said to him, I said to her, well, you can rest assured that he's with Jesus because I flew to Lakeland and talked to him for a while, and we walked the property. He was a gentleman. He was very kind. He heard my story, and I gave him two booklets that I had made up for to give him some ideas. Well, you can use this for the property if you like at some point. And I led him to Christ. And that was a weight lifted off of her. Do you know how many family members, if something happens to family members and they pass, we don't know whether they're in heaven or hell? Give it some thought. I heard a preacher say that the worst place to be at sometimes is a funeral because the preacher is lying or lies or has to lie to comfort the family. And we don't want that. We want to know for sure because we want to minister to them. So I say all that to say this, that trip to Lakeland was to win a soul to Christ, if nothing else. And it comforted this man's sister to know that someone she was talking on the phone that she's never met, has not even met up to this day, led her brother to Christ. So that is a testimony. And that's part of my story, because I've been around the world and around this country leading souls to Christ, who I may never see again until I get to heaven. So I want you to be comforted that the Holy Spirit is going to minister to you, is going to burden your heart to share the Lord. You don't have to share for no hour or no 15 minutes. If it's family members that you see often or that you can see often or talk to often, you can just drop a few little nuggets here or there that I'm going to share with you tonight. Because the Bible says that one plants a seed And I'm going to tell you what seeds to plant tonight. Another one comes along and waters it. And when you water a seed, it grows. And then the Bible says that God puts on the increase. So you don't get no credit. I don't get no credit. Because there were a lot of people around the world that I ministered to that didn't receive Christ, but they got a seed planted in them, or else a seed that was planted got watered by me. And it's God's job to put on the increase. So the first scripture we're going to talk about is John, the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16. It says, and if you're saved, you probably know this by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, God wants us to not perish more than we don't want to perish. He wants your loved ones to know what a loving God he is, that he sent his son Jesus. And Jesus agreed to come and go through all of the pain of the cross and shed his blood on the cross, that my sins would be forgiven and your sins would be forgiven and their sins would be forgiven. So that's a scripture that universally people that know the Lord, come to the Lord, or got saved or are saved, born again, usually know that scripture by heart, because it takes the love of God to have given up his son. Would you have done it? Would you have said, put your son out there and say, here, I want you to die on the cross. I want nails in your hand, sword in your side, and a crown of thorns pressed down in your head. And I want a nail driven through your feet so that this person up the street and my neighbors and my friends and the rest of our family will be saved. No, you're not going to do that. God did it. He's the only one that could have. And Jesus is the only one that could have, because he was without sin. He was not born in iniquity and shaped in sin like we were. Jesus was without sin. The next scripture, Acts 16, verse 31. It says, so they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. That says it right there in the Bible, that God wants everybody in your family, starting from the people that live in your house, saved. He wants them all to give their lives to Christ. You can't say because they're a nice person that they're saved. Good people go to hell if they have not asked Christ in their lives. The next scripture, Romans 1:16. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you don't read the Bible, you got to read these scriptures, which will give you some incentive to share some of these scriptures with the people that you want to lead to Christ, that you know are not living for the Lord. And it can be a gradual thing. Because when I'm finished, I'm going to give an altar call to those that are listening. If you're saved or not, you can still hear how to pray with someone in your family to give their life to Christ. Romans 1:16. That's my favorite scripture out of the whole Bible. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also the Greek. Now, you can't be ashamed to share Christ with somebody else. And if you feel a little scary because your family hasn't heard it from you, like maybe they should have, then you can ask God, remove the shame, Lord. Remove this feeling, this uncomfortable feeling that I have, so that I can share you with my family. So I can tell you, tell my son, my daughter, my grandchildren, my siblings about you. You can start out with telling them how good God's been to you. You can't assume that they see it and say, oh, God has been so good to my sister or my mother or my friend or my family member. People don't say that when they don't know the Lord. Not unless they're constantly around people that do know the Lord that say it. So God will remove the shame and he'll make you comfortable. You start looking at the Bible, at these scriptures that you're writing down tonight. And I've prayed already that this broadcast will go across the ocean. There's 70-some nations that listen to this broadcast on demand. They don't call in because it would be too much of an expense. But they can go to the website, the link, and listen on demand. And I'm believing God that people that are going on demand, after this broadcast is on demand, a few minutes after we close, we end it, that they would do the same thing that I'm sharing with you, writing down these scriptures, asking God to help them. I never ask God for a burden for souls. But I just had a burden for souls. I just became to have, it just came on me. So that's Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. I'm going to tell you something. There's not too much of the gospel of Christ being preached in the churches anymore. And that's where the power is. A lot of messages, you don't even hear the name of Jesus anymore from pulpits. So you want to have Jesus on your mind from the time you wake up in the morning, throughout the day, throughout the course of the day. I'm going to tell you, it's a comfort, it's a peace, that if it's not like that with you, it's going to become like that with you, because I speak it in your hearing right now in the name of Jesus. I remember when I was at the Bible Institute taking some classes in Philadelphia when I first got saved. And in one of the classes, the teacher said, oh, well, next week at class, we're going to start going out on the street soul winning. And I said, I'm not going out soul winning. The neighborhood was the part of the worst parts of Philadelphia. And so towards the end of the class, the sun was going down. And she says, oh, yeah, that's part of the class, Linda. That you'll get a grade for that. Okay, so I came in the next week, and she broke us up in twos, and we went out, my soul-winning partner and I went out. We led so many souls to Christ. After the first soul that we stopped at and talked to on the street now, that we led to Christ, they said the sinner's prayer, they repented of their sin, they asked Christ into their heart. It was like something just came on me that saw such wonderful, happy, joyful, something happened in my soul. Something happened in my spirit. Something happened in my heart. Something happened in my mind that this person got saved. And they don't know me, and I don't know them. And we just rolled with it, and it was just glorious. The Bible says that all heaven rejoices over one soul that gives their life to Christ. Now, that's something to be happy about. You want to make God happy? Go out and lead a soul to Christ. Start giving your family members, giving it some thought. If you all don't have conversations about the Lord or things going on at church, maybe you don't go to church, but you need to, you can go on YouTube and find a church. You can ask the Holy Spirit to lead you to a church. But you need to be around saved people like me. I like me. And I like to communicate with other people. I don't have to so rapidly push Jesus on them. My character, my demeanor, how I communicate with them and deal with them represents Jesus Christ. And I carry the Holy Spirit, which rubs off on people, that wants to get close to people. And that does me well. So the next scripture is going to be Romans 10:10. Romans, the book of Romans. I could tell you what page it is on in my Bible, but you probably don't have the same Bible. Romans chapter 10, verse 10. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you think you're saved and you've never done that, you can do it right now. This is a very important scripture because Jesus died on the cross for us out in the open, out in public. He was hung on the cross naked. He didn't have no rag around his loins. The only thing he was wearing was a crown of thorns on his head. He's covered up on the statues. But in real life, when Jesus was crucified on the cross, he was naked. He was naked on the cross for all the women and the girls and the molestation and the little boys and the older boys, that somebody made them get naked. He took their shame by hanging on the cross naked. When you see on some of these cable channels these true stories about these little kids that's been picked up off the street, that at some point in time, God has given them an open door to escape out of some crazy man's house after they've been molested so many times, have a girl in every room of their house, locked in handcuffs chained to furniture or a bed. You've seen some of these true stories. Jesus died on a cross, the crown of thorns pressed down in his head, for your mind to be transformed, for you not to lose your mind, for you to gain the mind of Christ. Those thorns pressed down in his head, which made his head bleed down and through all his hair and in his face, down his chest, down his back, down his brutally beaten back. That's the only thing Jesus wore, was a crown of thorns that they pressed down in his head. He hung on that cross in front of the world, in front of his mother, suffering in her soul, seeing her son dying like this. He became her savior as well. So that alone is enough to make me love him, to make me love him more and more, and to make you want to share him. As many of us are seniors that have grandchildren, get them over there to your house and feed them some ice cream. And while they're eating some ice cream, tell them about Jesus and how he died on the cross for them. Don't leave it up to your kids to tell them. You tell them. And then they can go back and tell their parents. Your kids, your in-laws. Oh, yeah. That's an easy way. Okay? So the next scripture is Luke, the Gospel of Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And Luke, let me see, 19. Luke 19, verse 10. Okay, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Excuse me. The Son of Man, do you believe this? God is just pointing out his Son. "Has come to seek and save that which was lost." I was lost. I don't need to be reminded of my past. I know I was lost. You were lost. There's people that are even sitting up in the church lost. There's lost preachers and lost pastors and lost apostles and lost teachers that Jesus came seeking them out to save them. That's what this scripture says. That's powerful right there. That's powerful. Because I got saved in someone's family room on my knees, and nobody told me that I was a sinner. Nobody asked me that I want to give my life to Christ. I'm telling you, if you know how to get a prayer through to God, it can happen to anybody in your family. I'm going to tell you how it happened to me. I was visiting a pastor's house, family member to a girlfriend of mine that was a very good friend at the time. And I actually went there so the pastor could counsel me because I was troubled about some things. So we separated ourselves and the pastor and I went into another room and she talked to me and I shared. I wasn't saved. Sinner, good Catholic, but a better sinner. And I told her what I was going through, and I was comforted. You know, sometimes all you need is somebody to listen, to vent, that's not going to gossip your business, that's not going to go run behind and backbite you and tell somebody what you just told them. If you don't have those kind of, if you don't have people in your life like that pastor, and she became my pastor, then you need people like that in your life. But I'll tell you one thing. You can tell God anything. And he'll comfort you about it. So we were getting ready to leave her house that night. And she said, "Well, let's pray." So her daughter was there that was a minister. And my girlfriend and I, we all knelt down in the family room, and I heard them praying in another language, but I knew it was God. I was praying that Our Father. I don't know if I said any Hail Marys, but you know, Catholics, that's all we know to how to pray. And I know I was praying Our Father, and that's in the Bible. And I heard her daughter kneeling next to me speaking in a language that I've never heard before. And she gave the interpretation in English. And the English interpretation was exactly what I was discussing with her mother in private in another room. See, that's what God will do for you. And I knew she was talking to me. I still didn't know what was going on, but I knew she was talking to me. And at the same time, I was kneeling with my eyes closed, and I saw this great big burst of light. And so after we finished praying, we were talking for a few minutes before we walked out the door. And I said to the pastor, while everybody was praying and my eyes were closed, I saw this great big burst of light. And she said that was the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And that was the night I got saved. I got changed. I couldn't stay out of the Word. I read it every minute on my job that I could, every lunch break, bathroom break. And that's how it's been. That's how it was. After I read through the Bible a couple times, I relaxed a little bit. But I got that Word in me enough to share it with you and to lead somebody else to Christ. So I'm telling you, somebody had to be praying for me. And you can pray for your loved ones, and they could have the same experience. And after I read the Bible, I read about Paul on the road to Damascus, that God came to him in a great, big, huge burst of light. And it didn't happen to me. I wasn't on no horse like he was. And it didn't happen to me like it happened to him, but it was the same Holy Ghost, the same Holy Spirit. And it changed my life. Totally changed my life. It changed my company that I kept, the things that I did. I had stopped smoking cigarettes long before then. I was still frequenting parties and clubs and stuff like that with my friends. Smoking reefer. And the Lord delivered me. The last thing I got delivered from was smoking the marijuana. I would go to church faithfully, come out of church, light up a joint on the church steps. And one day I did that, got in my car, and one of the church ladies came right out on the step and smelled it, and she went and told the pastor. That evening, I got a phone call from the pastor. She never said, he said, she said, I heard this, somebody called me this, because she wasn't a gossip. She approached me in the love of God and never even brought it up. She gave me the scripture in Corinthians 6:19, your body, Linda, is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And when she said that, I knew she was talking about the marijuana, and I know exactly who told her. But she wasn't a person of strife. She wasn't a person of division. She was not a person of gossip. Like, some church leaders don't know how to handle stuff like that when they get it. But when you are filled with the love of God and you walk in the love of God and you have the Spirit of God, which the Bible says God will give you his love. His love is shed abroad in your heart by Christ Jesus. And the only love that he has is agape love. And agape love is unconditional love. And that's how she talked to me. The word marijuana and joint never even came up. I just knew it, that that's why she called. I was honored that I got a call from the pastor, because there's some of these pastors that I've even have sat under that don't even answer my emails or my phone calls. But I learned from her the character of Christ. I learned from her, the very first pastor that God assigned to me and my family, walked in the love of God. And I'm just honored that I could say that she was assigned to me. Every pastor that I had in Philadelphia that was assigned to me at the church that I was a member at in Philadelphia walked in the love of God. They preached about agape love and that you have to walk in agape love. It's unconditional love. That you didn't pick me, God picked me. God picked you. So therefore, I love you anyway. I love the sinner. I love my neighbors. I don't like everything people do and say that could affect me or does affect me, but I still love you. God says, love your enemies. Bless them that despitefully uses you and persecutes you. That comes with growth. Next scripture. So you can never say that God didn't come to seek and save you, because that's what the Bible says that he did, that he does. Hallelujah. Okay, the next scripture is Titus. Titus is a little further back in the New Testament. Titus chapter 2. I'm going to read verse 11. And 12, and then I'll have two more scriptures after that, and then we're going to pray and close. Okay, Titus chapter 2. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, my Lord, I work in the school system and I see it every day. Ungodliness. Worldly lust in the adults and the students, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is a powerful scripture. If that scripture locks into our spirit that we in this present age looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearance of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, and his appearance is next. Is soon to come. And that'll be my last scripture when I elaborate on that. But it says, denying ungodliness. As adults, we should all know what ungodliness is if we know anything about being saved. And worldly lust. Worldly lust. It should also say churchly lust. Because there's a whole lot of people that are sitting in church that are full of lust. Lust is not just sex. Lust could mean lusting after a whole lot of things. And I would not have known that people have sat in church for years and years and years and years and never gave their life to Christ. I was saved a long time before I heard somebody say that, and I can hardly believe it. But it's true. So this is what the Holy Spirit helps us to do if you really have him. He helps you to turn from ungodliness and worldly lusts. Okay, the next scripture is Matthew I've been watching The Chosen, and I love Matthew, the character, the guy that plays Matthew on The Chosen. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. This is crucial. This scripture is called the narrow way. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. You don't want your family's members to leave like this. You just don't. Once children reach a certain age, the age of accountability, I think, for a child is 12 years old. And by that age, if they have not accepted Christ in their life, then they have moved into, that's like a bar mitzvah age for a Jewish boy. So I think I've heard years ago that that was the age of accountability. They're accountable for their behavior by that age. And therefore, they know the big difference between right and wrong. And God wants them to know him. Okay, so the scripture says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. The Bible is telling the truth. The way to life in Christ is narrow. The Bible does not sugarcoat it to make us think when we get saved, everything's going to be honky-dory and you're not going to have any problems, no storms, no trials, no tribulation. The Bible says difficult. Narrow is the way and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few that find it. I've been saved 41 years. I've never heard anybody outside of my church in Philadelphia preach that. Because the pulpits are watering down the scripture. Everybody wants to be motivated. Everybody wants to shout and run around the church. This is not a shouting message, this scripture. This is not something that you tell somebody that you're leading to Christ. This is something that should bring a burden of souls in your heart. And when I say a burden, I mean you should be burdened to lead your family members to Christ, to make sure that they are locked in, no matter how hard it is. I would be sitting up here all night telling you how hard it's been for me. How hard it is, how the accusations that have come against me, because I haven't gotten where somebody else is, or I don't have the claim to fame and I've been saved 41 years. But let me tell you something. I know I've walked the narrow way, and it's been difficult. It was never sugarcoated to me by any of my pastors, because the church that I was in Philadelphia, there were quite a lot of pastors there because they had well over 5,000 members. So when I use pastors plural, I don't mean that I've been to that many churches. I mean that those pastors were at that church You need more than one pastor if you're going to be have a fruitful ministry with thousands of people there. So this is a scripture that the senior pastor and the other pastors would minister on. And I can honestly say, I have never heard this scripture preached on, because even preachers don't walk the narrow way. I'm in a prophetic mentoring class on Monday evenings, and I heard the prophet, who is a pastor and a teacher, say that he's heard preachers in the pulpits say that they disobeyed God like it was no big deal, like bragging about it, like they were disobedient to God, like it was nothing. Like no fear of the Lord. Not fear like scared of the dark. The reverence, the submissiveness to God, the holiness of God, that God gave up someone that was like him, his son. His only begotten son. So this is a scripture that if you read it and reread it, you'll realize what a merciful God is in your life, and a loving God, because of the things that he spared you of, the way he has lifted up your spirit when you were down, the way he has provided for you when you were low on funds. But this is a message for you. Not for you to take to someone that you're leading to Christ. They'll read the Bible and they'll read it for themselves. I have to pray that God continuously give me a hunger and a thirst for his word. The Bible says that he gives us a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. The Bible says, he that has a hunger and a thirst for righteousness shall be filled, shall be fed. Okay. Here's my last scripture. 1 Thessalonians. Now, 1 Thessalonians is toward the back of the New Testament, past Philippians and Colossians. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16 and 17. This is why you want to lead your family members to Christ. When I read you this and tell you that this action, this event that the Bible spells out right here, Jesus' appearance that we talked a little bit about, we're going to really see it right here in this scripture. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. Because I'm going to tell you, when it happens and God takes you up, if you're still on earth, the dead in Christ will rise first, which means those that died in Christ will rise up to meet him in the air. And you and I that are living, that's what I pray for my friends that have mentored me in the church, that God will bless them with health, that they will be able to experience the rapture. Because I want to experience the rapture. I had a dream that I was caught up, that I was going up in the rapture. And I was in a church and I saw the pastor left behind. That's a horrible thing. They got movies on cable about that. That when the rapture came, people were disappearing from the pews. But the pulpit was full of preachers left behind. So I'm going to read this right now. Oops, wait a minute. Let me see. Oh, okay. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. And asleep right there means those that have passed, that have died. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. I'm comforting you tonight with these words, because there's no other word that can comfort us with all this mess going on and turmoil and hatred. People that aren't saved, they don't understand. They're not accountable. They don't know any better. I don't like to be mistreated, but I have to watch how I treat them. I have to be careful how I treat them. I don't want to mistreat them. I want to represent Christ to them without saying Christ to them. I haven't always been a good representative of Christ. I'm still working on it. I don't need nobody to tell me about it. I'm still working on it. But this tells us the event that is about to happen. It has not taken place yet, but it's going to happen. And from what I understand from people that research the Bible, that everything that the Bible says that is going to happen has happened already. And we are prepared for the rapture. But no one knows the time or the date but God the Father. And the Bible says that Jesus doesn't even know. Only the Father God knows. But it's going to happen. And I want everybody in my family to be ready. At my uncle's funeral, before he died, I was always trying to get to him about Jesus, my mother's brother, her youngest brother. And he went here and he said, yeah, you can pray for me, but not holding my hand or not now, you when you go home or something. And he would always, but he was playful about it. He wasn't disrespectful. So when I went to the hospital to see him, he was all tubed up. And he couldn't tell me, no, you can't pray for me. I knew he could hear me, and I took his hand, and I said, well, Uncle Malvin, you can't tell me now I can't pray for you, because I'm going to pray for you right now. And I lit the room up with a prayer for him. And I talked to him about Christ, and I knew he was coming out of that, and he did. God brought him out of that. And I saw him again and again and again until finally he went home to be with the Lord. And at his funeral, I had a space to lead over 400 people sitting in that church at his funeral in the sinner's prayer to Christ. Now, if they weren't sincere about it, wasn't my problem. But they said it, and they sound like a choir asking Christ to come into their life, because I told them that I felt that this is what my Uncle Malvin would want for them. And 400 and some people were there. There wasn't an empty seat in that sanctuary. It was packed, standing room only. And I led them to say out loud, because the Bible says you have to confess with your mouth. Jesus didn't die in private. He died in public. And that's another thing that should give you a burden for souls. So that's the last scripture that I wanted to share with you to place some weight on you. That if you're saved and you've given your life to Christ and you ask him to forgive you of your sins, because sometimes we think certain things and we need to ask God to forgive us. We say certain things either in someone else's hearing because they were mean to us or for whatever reason, and we need to ask God to forgive us. I know, honey, that there are people in the church that talk about me like a dog. They didn't say they're sorry. They don't apologize. There's no fear of the Lord because I'm a woman of God. No, they think they can wait until whenever. But that's not what God tells us to do. There's a scripture in the Bible where Jesus said, if you know that someone has something against you, leave your gift at the altar, which means don't give him no money. Don't give him no tithe, no offering. Leave it at the altar. Go reconcile with them and then come back, get your gift, and give the gift to me. People don't do that. They live forever. They live forever with no conscience about what they've said or done about you. But that's on them. It bothers me because I've given them a grand open door for years to just come to me and scripturally do what the Bible says. And they have not. And that's what blesses me in my relationship with God, that I did it right. That he looks upon me and says, well done, or this is my beloved daughter in whom I am well pleased. So I'm going to wrap it up. I think that I've shared my heart. I've shared the scripture. I've shared the heart of God to you. And that should give you every reason to get to your grandchildren, your spouse, your ex-spouse, your kids. Ask God to tell you how to approach them, and he will. He'll give you an open door that you might be a little nervous about, and you'll say to yourself, is the Lord giving me this opportunity now? No. Then you'll talk yourself out of it. And then he'll give you another one. So just do it. So if there's anyone on the line listening and you have not given your life to Christ, I just want you to repeat this after me. And if you have never led a soul to Christ, just hear the prayer. You don't have to say it exactly like I do, but the person needs to repent for their sin. And you need to let them follow you in a prayer or listen to their repentance, because it has to be an open confession. So right now, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Lord, thank you for dying on the cross for me. And they can repeat this after you, just like I'm saying to you, because you know that he died on a cross for you, for rising from the dead that I would have eternal life. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me in your precious blood. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness and fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me, Jesus, to be more like you. Amen. It's that simple. If you want to email me at wealthywells@gmail.com, I wrote a book, How to Win a Soul to Christ and Make It a Lifestyle. And I have different ways of saying what we call a sinner's prayer that you can read right from the book. You can write what I just said and look at it and have that piece of paper with you when you lead your grandkids to Christ. When you put them to bed and they're in their jammies and you want to have prayer and you just talk to them a little bit about Jesus. And they then say, oh, you know what grandma had to do? I gave my life to Christ. Don't you want to give your life to Christ? And they'll say, yeah, mama, yeah. And just lead them to Christ. We led our grandsons to Christ. I led my grandsons to Christ. My daughter led her sons to Christ. And I've talked to them about Jesus. They're grown now. They do what they want. They need to rededicate their lives to Christ. They're not first-timers anymore. And God is wooing them back. So it's that simple to minister to someone about Jesus. So I appreciate you listening. I'm glad that you called in or have streamed in. I'm blessed and honored that God gave me this opportunity. He's been telling me, I want you back on the radio. You have all your guests and you introduce them. I want you to do it because I used to do it. I used to minister on someone else's radio broadcast for 2 hours every Tuesday night. And then when I got my own broadcast, I did it. And then I started getting guests and I got comfortable. But this is salvation, part one, family first. And God says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And he tells us that it's to be preached first in our family, then in our community, then in the uttermost part of the world. If you don't get to the uttermost part of the world, you can certainly get to your neighbors or somewhere in your community, even in a way where God will open up a door on your job. At the high school where I am, I'm sitting in the lounge, and a sub came in knocking on the door. She didn't have a key. I let her in. She's a pastor's wife. And here, I don't hide, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus, in any conversation. I don't ask you, are you saved or anything. People that know me or just met me in on the same day, they find out that I talk about the Lord. And I just started talking to her about the Lord and found out that she's a pastor's wife up here in Glen Burnie near where I am. So to God be all the glory for this broadcast tonight. Lord, I thank you for every listener. I ask God that you would move by your spirit upon their hearts and their minds. I speak the shalom peace of God upon them, their household, their family members. I ask God that you would rest heavily upon them, Lord God. And from this night on, Lord God, they would have it in their heart and their mind. How can I lead this one to Christ? How can I tell that one about Jesus? Let me grab my nieces and nephews. Let me take them out. This will be a reason for me to get with them. Just for you, Jesus, and I'll pay the bill. And, Lord, you will bless me abundantly. And then they will have more to know about you. Lord, give us a hunger and thirst after righteousness and a thirst for your word. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, cover them. I apply the blood of Jesus to their minds, their households, all that you bless them to have. And God, we thank you. We give you praise. Be with us through the night as we lie down this evening. Blessed are you, O God, King of the universe, who has allowed us to fellowship in your word tonight, learning more about you and wanting parties every day in heaven over souls being saved on a daily basis. God, we give you thanks. We give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to close the broadcast. Thank you again for joining me. I'm Seer Evangelist Linda Cazares, and I thank you for listening. And just remember, only what you do for Christ will last. What you do for your employer, what you do for anybody else, what you do for your pastor, your church, what you do to be seen and heard, will all burn up in the fire. Only what you do for Christ will last. God bless you. Have a good night.